Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast New Year's Eve edition for Sunday, December 31st, 2017. I am not Pat McNeil. Pat McNeil is busy changing diapers. Congratulations, Pat. We are presenting here on Wrestling Night in America a very special edition featuring Greg Parks, co-host of this program, along with his friends Kurt Hoffman and Dan Longnecker, and Gonzo, the co-host of Gonzo and the Greg, an old VIP audio show from several years ago that ran for a few years, where every week they did a top five list. And we are on the cusp of Royal Rumble season. In fact, I think we're in it, but we'll say it starts tomorrow. And therefore, we're bringing up a Royal Rumble timeless episode. This is a Gonzo and the Greg PW Torch VIP podcast that originally was released on January 28th, 2012. And this featured their list of the top five Royal Rumble pay-per-view moments of all time. Now, in the last five Rumbles, there may have been some that they'd add to this list, but this covers all the Rumbles before they recorded this show, the top five Royal Rumble moments. Also, after their top five list, they talk about possible Royal Rumble surprise entrants in the 2012 edition. This was recorded right before the Rumble. And also thoughts on whether John Laurinaitis will be relieved of his GM duties on Monday night. So some current events talk at the end, some current events talk at the time that this was recorded at the end of today's show. So enjoy this. It's a fun format. If you enjoy this show, you'll want to become a VIP member and catch up on all past Gonzo and the Greg episodes. They did a top five list every week on a wide range of topics. If you can think of a top five list, they probably did it during the run of this show for several years back earlier this decade. So go VIP, pwtorch.com/goVIP. So much great content every day. New VIP exclusive content, articles that are VIP exclusive throughout the week, the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, and more. But also archives, archives, archives on any topic you can imagine in professional wrestling with a top shelf team of contributors. And these PW Torch livecasts that you enjoy, we remove the ads and plugs for VIP members. So on the VIP audio feed, which, by the way, features the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast 4 days a week on Podcast One, the every single day Wade Keller Hotline, the Fix with Todd Martin, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, this weekend a new WWE Future Past hosted by Sean Radican, where he has a rotation of co-hosts where they analyze the careers of three wrestlers who are in WWE or may someday go to WWE. And this week, it's Dalton Castle, Matt Riddle, and Donovan Dijak. Those are the three. And they'll point out three matches that you can watch of theirs on YouTube and analyze them and talk about their progression on the indie scene and whether they thought that they would become stars or will become stars and what the pros and cons are of that possibility. It's a great format for a podcast. It is another VIP exclusive. We'd love for you to be a VIP member to start the new year. It's as little as $8.25 on average per month to be a VIP member. Go check out details at pwtorch.com/goVIP. That's pwtorch.com/goVIP. When you go to that page, you're going to see our cool new graphics. We've released all kinds of new graphics for our VIP podcasts, and you can also see 18 of the biggest cover stories of 2017 in a grid of Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter covers. So it's kind of a cool page to go explore. Check it out, pwtorch.com/goVIP. We'd love to have you as a VIP member for 2018. It's a great way to start out the new year. Remove the ads and plugs from this show, streamline listening to this show, and get on board for VIP exclusive shows that you've been missing out on. Every single day, there's one, two, three, sometimes four VIP exclusive podcasts. You'll have such a great array of podcasts to choose from on a daily basis that you'll never be bored as a wrestling fan again, and you'll get to experience our top shelf content. So check it out. All right, Happy New Year, everybody. Really appreciate your support this year. When you are shopping Amazon this year, think of us. Go to pwtorch.com/Amazon and click on the big Amazon logo and then shop as you plan to. When you do that, we get a commission. It's a way to throw a few quarters, a few extra bucks in the tip jar when you're shopping at Amazon. Whether you're buying a box of Bic pens or a garage storage system, big or small, think of us when you're shopping at Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. And of course, check out my show, 4 days a week at Podcast One. Just search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts to listen to that show for free. Or as I said, better yet, go VIP and get all of my shows, including ad-free editions of the livecast, by going to pwtorch.com/go-VIP. And if you missed Friday's Best of PW Torch livecast, it was an interview with Diamond Dallas Page from 5 years ago this week. It's a great accompaniment to my new interview with DDP. Part one ran on Friday at Podcast One. Part two runs this coming Friday. So you can catch up on what DDP is up to, hear some funny stories from DDP in my new interview, and then also hear the compelling story of Jake Roberts, 5 years ago from DDP, talking about taking Jake into his home and helping him get back on his feet. Follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. Follow our brand at PW Torch. All right, now let's go to Gonzo and the Greg, the whole gang, talking about their top five all-time Royal Rumble moments.
Welcome, everyone, to the Royal Rumble edition of Gonzo and the Greg. Tonight, four men will go over our top five list of favorite Royal Rumble moments. Those men include Greg Parks, Mike Gonzalez, Kurt Hoffman, and Dan Longnecker.
Yeah.
And now, it is time to find out who drew number one.
Welcome to, as promised, a special episode of Gonzo and the Greg this week. Apparently, I drew number one. I'm Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, joined as usual by my co-host Gonzo and our producer Kurt Hoffman, along with our special guest, as Kurt said at the outset, Dan Longnecker.
Welcome back!
Good to be back. Good to be
making
back.
Making his Gonzo and the Greg return. Dan, the last time we had you on was for SummerSlam.
So. I like the once every 6 months kind of thing I got going here.
It's nice. Anytime you want to be on here, we'll let you on.
Yeah, that's good to know.
He'll be joining us this weekend, also in our Rumble Jackpot tomorrow night, so we look forward to that. Mm-hmm. Today's top five, as has been the norm for the weekend of the four major pay-per-views for WWE, it's our top five favorite moments from those pay-per-views throughout history. We've done SummerSlam. Did we do WrestleMania? I think we did, didn't we?
Yeah, I think that was like one of our first ones.
We did Survivor Series, so here it is, the Royal Rumble, our last of the four major pay-per-views. And it is our top five favorite Royal Rumble moments in history. Without further ado, let's get started. I'll go with my number five favorite Royal Rumble moment, and it is from 2011. John Morrison leaping onto the barricade to stave off elimination. That was one of those things where, you know, James Caldwell and I talked about this on the live cast on Thursday this week, is a lot of people predicting John Morrison to be a surprise entrant. Personally, I don't see it. I think it's too soon for him to come back. But without John Morrison, without Evan Bourne, without Sin Cara, without Rey Mysterio, the Royal Rumble is really missing the athleticism. So in that regard, I guess I wouldn't be surprised to see someone like John Morrison come back. We'll talk about that a little later on. But John Morrison, we knew he had this in him. We knew at the Rumble that he might do something crazy like this, but to actually see it play out was just, you know, it got a pop from all of us, probably.
Yeah, I mean, great athleticism, obviously. Obviously, we know John Morrison has that. He's always had it. This is a moment for me that, yeah, it was a big pop moment, but it's not one that I'm going to remember 10 years from now, probably, my opinion. It was a great spot, great moment. I could see why it would make somebody's favorites, but it wouldn't make mine, probably.
That was impossible, what I saw. I mean, the guy, like a fucking fly to a fly trap, just stuck right on the damn barricade, climbed up, jumped off the barricade onto the steps, and got back in the Rumble. Nobody does that. What the fuck? That was crazy.
I gotta give a lot of credit to WWE writers and, of course, John Morrison. I think that's very risky. I was watching the whole time thinking he's going to mess up and they're going to look like idiots. And he pulled it off. Very gutsy. Greg, have that in my honorable mention. On the car ride over here, I was thinking, and I kind of messed up a little bit. I thought the title from the text that I forgot to reread again was Top 5 Just Winners and How They Won. But then I thought when you brought, like, nope, moments, I'm like, you know, for one of the first ones was John Morrison doing his it came to mind.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
And I was going to say something off of something Dan said. Oh, yeah, that even if he did screw up and that 1 foot hit the floor, you know, they could still kind of, you know, he's not out until 2 feet hit. So he can kind of at least do a little balance.
Well, even if he messes it up, even if both feet hit the ground and he's eliminated, then, all right, he messed up and he's eliminated. It's not like John Morrison was...
No, but I'm saying the moment could still be saved a little if he was...
Yeah, well, but I mean, that's one of those things where you can risk it because you don't have John Morrison winning.
He's not a major factor.
Yeah, he's not a major factor, so even if he screws it up and both feet hit the ground, then it's like, oh, well, Morrison messed it up, we can move on.
Yeah.
You know what the scary part is? There was no doubts to his motion. He did it perfectly.
I'm sure that's probably something he trained and practiced all day beforehand. You know, he probably did that 50 times before he actually did it live on the pay-per-view, which, you know, that's a totally different animal when you're live on pay-per-view in front of a sold-out crowd, so...
A lot of pressure.
I can't wait to see Brodus Clay do the same thing.
I'm sure he will do
the whole barrier would come down.
Just as spectacular. Gonzo, your number
you
five.
You know, you bastards, you messed me. You almost messed this up for me earlier when you started talking about it. But I did put this on my top five. Apparently a group of a tag team didn't know that they weren't in the Rumble. Taka and Funaki and their repeated run-ins in the 2000 Royal Rumble match. I don't know if they... I can't remember if they didn't know that they weren't in the match or didn't know the rules of it. I know they weren't in the Rumble.
They were... on Sunday Night Heat, they lost their chance to be in the Rumble. I think they were in the Rumble, but then they lost it to... And let me check here to double-check.
But anyways, moving on, I mean... I've never seen two people get thrown over a top rope so many times in one match. And, of course, we have the Taka Michinoku...
They caught up to them.
Face plant that led to his concussion, which WWE felt worthy enough to show over and over and over and over again during the Royal Rumble match. And it was even funny because WWE continued to have Funaki go out there by himself, even after Taka was incapacitated, apparently.
Yeah, that was... That whole Kai and Tai entering the Rumble and getting thrown out thing was played for comedy, and I don't see where they were originally in it, so maybe I'm mistaken here, but I thought for sure that they had been in it at one time and lost their spot in it, and that's why they kept running in. But yeah, Taka, I mean, geez, that was brutal to watch, and on replay they kept showing it. And kept. I'm assuming they didn't know how seriously he was injured when they kept showing it. But
it was more like a tiny pool of blood near his head or something. I thought maybe I'm thinking
too much about it. Yeah, but you know, maybe they didn't think. I don't know. It was a different time for WWE when that kind of stuff was emphasized a little more. That was in 2000, so it's still the Attitude Era where, you know, big spots were kind of rewarded with replays, no matter how injured someone got. So
I shall move on to my number five. CM Punk motivational speaker from a couple years ago, where he pretty much dominated what felt like the first half of the Rumble. It was so fucking hilarious. Every time you toss the guy out, you grab the microphone and you say, "As I was saying, I can save everybody!" And then boo, they're booing the living hell out of him.
Would you like to join the Something Society?
Straight Edge Society.
Straight Edge Society. And pop.
Yeah, I think it was Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder, yeah.
And he got in a ring, and then CM Punk somehow was backing down from Zack Ryder from a couple of years ago. And CM Punk's got the mic, he's like, no, wait, you don't understand. I can help you. I can boo! Hits him in the head with the mic, tosses him out of the ring.
That mic spot is like, It's become a classic. It's become it's become such an easy pop now. Like, the first time they did it, wasn't it CM Punk to Jeff Hardy?
Yeah.
And that was, like, a huge deal.
Mid-sentence.
Yeah. And now, like, I think they've gone back to that more and more, and even TNA's done it a couple times, and, you know, it loses a bit of its effectiveness, but it's still usually good for a pop.
I think Lauren and I has officially ruined that.
With his slow motion
flop of Mick Foley.
He went through about five or six, I remember, Kurt, and I remember, I don't know who the rest was, but there officially came down the first, like, badass, I guess, and like it all stopped. Like, he wasn't buying it. I was like,
he came into the ring.
No, it was big, like Triple H.
He came into the ring with Ziggler and Evan Bourne. He eliminated both of them. Then Kali came down. He tried to save Kali, and Kali gave him the chop. And then Beth Phoenix came down, and Beth Phoenix got Kali out because this was face Kali, and threw Kali over by kissing him.
All right,
and then Punk eliminated Beth Phoenix. And then Zack Ryder came down, and that's when he did the mic. threw him out, and then Triple H came down.
Coincidentally enough, didn't CM Punk just eliminate Beth Phoenix yet again?
Yeah. That's what the word is, that he and Beth have separated. So you also missed JTG.
What a house cleaning, though. That's awesome.
He was my number two that year, so I was ticked that he had to be, I think he was like the first one, wasn't he?
No, he was third.
So I was ticked about that, but when he started doing, I'm like, okay, maybe, and then Triple H or whatever came, I'm like, well, that's the end of that, short-lived, so...
Yeah, that was definitely a great moment from 2010, actually.
2010, so, just so. Unfortunately, I did not do my research deep enough to get the years for everything, but with our combined efforts, I think we can find them.
Dan, you're number five.
All right, my number five. I'm making a last second substitution. Uh-oh. I don't like my five. I'm going to my honorable mention list here.
Oh, boy. And this is just amateur right here. You got amateur hour going.
I'm going, and a lot of people think this is probably, a little, it was fun, whatever. It was short-lived. But for me, I also had this guy in the jackpot. It was last year. I thought Santino might pull off a little upset there. Biggest upset probably of Royal Rumble history. He rolled out of the bottom rope three quarters into the match. Everyone thought he was done or forgot about him, I being one of them. Well, actually, no, because I remember I had him, and he rolled about. I looked at somebody, it might have been Gonzo. I'm like, let's not forget about this. He did not go to the top. We still did.
Dan was desperate for a win.
I was desperate. And sure enough, I still forgot. The end of the match game, I'm like, shoot, that's another year down, and I sucked. And then here he comes rolling in the bottom, and the crowd's going nuts. Big pop for him. Del Rio doesn't see him. He gets that Cobra out, and... hit it, and I'm like, maybe, and then when he starts doing his, he's doing his trombone, and I'm thinking, throw him out, and we got the upset of a lifetime. He does not decide to throw him out, he decides to showboat, and then the rest from there was history.
Greg, don't say Dan, because every single one of us was popping in that fucking apartment last year.
I don't think anyone realistically thought Santino was going to win.
As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I was running through booking scenarios in my head, like, 1,000 booking scenarios per second, thinking, like, how the hell are they going to get away with Santino winning this thing? I don't know.
This was my number five for quite a while. I ended up putting it in my honorable mention, so it's definitely a great moment. And it's one of those things where, we're on the 25th Royal Rumble now, I think, and everyone who has won has been a major main eventer. And you'd think that the law of averages would at least have someone luck into a win once in a while. Or at least tease it, which is what they did last year. So, in that regard, I guess we were hoping for a Santino win just to,
underdog story.
Yeah, an underdog story just to shake things up. Probably understandable that he wouldn't make it to WrestleMania to challenge for the title. He would lose it somehow in between now and then. But you can't take away from him that he would be the Royal Rumble winner. And I think eventually, we're all hoping for that one underdog to win it just to change things up and just to see how they book that, because that's also, the main eventer wins the Rumble, and it's basically ABC booking to WrestleMania. But you take an underdog, somebody who's a mid-carder, and allow them to win the Rumble, all of a sudden you've changed the whole booking pattern, and things, you establish new booking patterns heading to WrestleMania, and I think that would be a great thing to do.
Yeah, I like it.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too, and if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Anyone else want to speak on this?
Like I said, great moment from last year. The whole apartment was popping. At least the ones who truly, truly cared about wrestling.
The only one who didn't pop was probably my sister, who had Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah. Yeah. Money on the line. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move into number four, and I do have a tie for number four. This is a late addition for me too. My first one is CM Punk does the mic work, tries to save opponents during the Rumble 2010. And I almost piggybacked onto you, forgetting that we had Dan here. So that's my number four. My other number four actually has nothing to do with the Rumble match itself. And this is the only one that didn't have anything to do with the Rumble match itself.
I guess we should remind people that We could be anything from the Royal Rumble pay-per-view.
Right. It's the same way we've done any Survivor Series moment, any SummerSlam moment. Any Royal Rumble moment can be from the pay-per-view, not just the match. So my number four personal favorite, Bob Holly and 123 Kid upset Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka for the Tag Team Championships, and Bam Bam Bigelow ends up shoving LT at ringside from 1995.
Oh, shit.
So that set into motion the Bam Bam Bigelow-Lawrence Taylor match at WrestleMania, which got a lot of mainstream media hype, was actually probably one of the best, if not the best, celebrity matches of all time. So that was a pretty big deal for 1995. And that's why that, in combination with 123 Kid and Spark Plug Holly winning the tag titles, which at the time I didn't have a hatred so much for Bob Holly.
Yeah, I was going to say, my first thought was, Gray has Bob Holly on his ass. I'm like, there's something wrong here.
This is back before Bob Holly became a bitter has-been and wanted to just take hit out on people.
Yeah, how athletic and how quickly did LT pick up wrestling for that WrestleMania match? Of course, he was pre-coked up Lawrence Taylor, so...
I don't know about pre. Let's say the peak.
Oh, yeah, so, okay, he wasn't in full, overblown cokedom.
But for an athlete like him, I have to figure it's not that difficult to pick up. You know, he's athletic enough to where he can do it. When you've got a guy like Dennis Rodman, who's an athlete, but he's all arms and legs, and he's, you know, kind of... he doesn't have the body type there to really be not awkward in the ring. And Dennis Rodman was quite awkward in the ring at times during his WCW days.
When CLT's attempt at a powerbomb, that was...
you've also got Bam Bam Bigelow, who's no, a 1-2-3 Kid up there. So that's my number four. Anyone want to comment on Holly and 1-2-3 Kid? Holly and 1-2-3 Kid's win almost as good as 1-2-3 Kid and Marty Jannetty's tag team title win on Raw, which was celebrated by Randy Savage as well.
There's Greg's Marty Jannetty reference for the night. Quota has been met.
I have a feeling Matt's going to rip you down for that tag match.
I don't care.
Uh-oh. Anyways, solid moment. I actually forgot about that. I forgot it started at the Rumble, and LT was so excited and down the front row. You know, he's a wrestling fan. He's getting into it, and then Bam Bam started some shoving, and the rest is history, folks. But, yeah. Good times.
It's good just to get other people besides wrestlers in it to kind of mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I've always liked involving celebrities, and if
it could end up badly, but I mean,
yeah,
it spices it up.
Yeah, if the rumors are true and Shaquille O'Neal has signed on for WrestleMania this year, a lot of people assuming the Big Show. I don't think that's a given right now, but that would seem to make the most sense. Of course, if Mark Henry is really seriously injured, as it appeared on SmackDown this past week, and can't go at WrestleMania, it may be Big Show Daniel Bryan or some variation of that match. So time will tell on that. But I just wanted to include that a non-Rumble match moment too. So Gonzo, number four.
My number four, we're going to go to 1995. Shawn Michaels wins the Royal Rumble from the number one spot. But also, this was a favorite moment of mine because I didn't expect either one of Michaels at number one or the British Bulldog, who entered at number two, to last the entire... Now, I pictured Michaels as a guy, all right, Michaels comes in at one, he'll last till very late in the match, and he'll get eliminated. I'm sitting there going, throughout the whole match, going, what the fuck is Bulldog still doing in there? When is Bulldog going to get eliminated? Now, granted, the talent level at this time was not great. It was not great by any means. But I was just, the whole time I saw this, I was like, Michaels and Bulldog are still in there, and it's like 24, 25... coming in, and then they were the last two. And then Bulldog, you think, wins by throwing Michaels over. Michael skins the cat with the 1 foot down on the ground, hits Bulldog, who's celebrating, and that's the end of the match, and Michaels wins. First guy from number one.
Yeah, that, and I think you hit on one of the reasons that I didn't put this in my top five is they shaved down the entrance times as well, I think that. So he didn't last as long as you would in a normal Rumble. And they shaved down the entrance times, which was the other reason that I didn't put it on my list, is because the talent level was probably the weakest it's ever been for a Royal Rumble at the time, 1995. It's something to be said for Shawn Michaels. It was unique that Shawn Michaels not only won from number one, not only lasted the entire time, but like you said, the British Bulldog, also at number two, lasted the entire time as well. For all intents and purposes, they stayed in the ring at the same amount of time. Bulldog just didn't win it. So Whether or not that points to another example of how thin the talent was, that that they had to have two guys in the ring the entire time to carry the match portion because no one else really could. But a good moment, and I've seen that on other people's lists when I've looked on the internet for favorite Rumble moments. I've seen that on there.
Well, it's history-making for Shawn Michaels to be the first man to go from number one and all the way to the end and win it. I, as a kid, was confused as to why Shawn Michaels suddenly can re-enter the ring and toss out Bulldog and win the match. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. He was out. He's eliminated. But then they showed the videotape. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Boy, you cried over wrestling a lot, didn't you, when you were a little kid?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys said, too, the reason why, and we'll get to, I'll get to that later. That might be a further one on mine as well. But he went the distance, which makes it big. And also the whole 1 foot down, don't quote me on this, but this might have started that whole thing of the controversy of, was he out all the way? Or he went through the middle rope. Like, it was pretty straightforward, the Royal Rumbles before. This is like the first one where they're testing the rules of, no, both feet were not down, he's still in the match. Or so-and-so went through the bottom rope and he's running backstage. I don't know if this was like the first one.
It may have been. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It brought something new to the table where it's kind of mixing it up a little bit.
I mean, you had Bret Hart and Lex Luger in 94, year before, who both won, both feet hit the floor at the same time.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And it was the argument of, okay, whose feet hit first. But, you know, I think you bring up a point.
I mean, probably everybody in the arena thought Bulldog just won. I mean, the whole surprise of it. Which brings me back.
That's a good point to put on a favorite. The surprise that a lot of people thought Michaels was eliminated. They teased the Bulldog winning, played his music.
He got on the top rope.
He stood on the second rope and celebrated. So that's an advantage for it being on the list, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, number four, Kurt.
Number four is both the best and worst moment in Maven's life. When Maven drop kicks Undertaker in the back and eliminates the Undertaker from the Royal Rumble. And the crowd was crazy. Like, holy shit, this is unbelievable. This guy, Maven, who shows up from Tough Enough, just took out the goddamn Undertaker. Undertaker had a look on his face, though. That then set forth one of the worst ass kickings in Rumble history as he took Maven all the way up the steps in the crowd out of the fucking popcorn stand, puts his fucking head through the popcorn machine. Undertaker enjoys a nice handful of buttery hot goodness and then fucks him up some more.
And you could argue that Undertaker has been on both sides of the worst beatdowns in Rumble history. Of course, Giant Gonzalez eliminating him in a previous Rumble by beating him down. So,
yes.
There you go.
Just passing the torch on.
Yeah.
Well, not so much to Maven, but.
This was an honorable mention for me. I liked it because I liked Maven, believe it or not. I watched the entire season of Tough Enough. I loved it. I thought Maven winning was the right call and hoped for big things for him in WWE. That didn't really pan out, but at least they tested the waters here by giving him the ball and having him eliminate Undertaker to put him over. And I think the crowd reaction may have made WWE think, gee, we may have something here. But again, it didn't pan out, unfortunately. This is definitely worthy of being on the list.
I don't know if that was so much of a pan out moment. I think that was more of the crowd going, what the hell? They're rooting for the underdog, like you were saying. I mean, I think a lot of people would pop for, like, a mid-carder or a low mid-carder. Like, if Yoshitatsu right now just, like, dumped out Triple H out of a match, we'd be like, what? And we would all be happy about
right,
that.
Right, but if they had capitalized on Maven and really pushed him as a legit guy, they could have had something there based on the spark that would have ignited it, which would have been the Rumble elimination of Taker. Mm. Dan, number four.
Number four. And folks, bear with me. My knowledge of wrestling can't touch these guys, but from what I saw,
I say that to them all the time when they're not here. So. Hey,
hold me accountable if I'm wrong on this. I'll throw it out there. If you remember, folks, from the last one, I think I was at SummerSlam and I brought up something from Survivor Series.
Yeah, on the list.
But was Rock Mankind's I Quit match at a Royal Rumble, I believe.
Greg, look it up.
I think it was correct. Yeah.
All right. Well, a lot happened in that match. Poor Mankind's family had to sit there and see the beatdown of a lifetime with a steel chair to the grill.
Oh, shit, I forgot that did happen to Rumble. Fuck. Ooh, yeah. You're one up me, Dan.
I'm trying to pull it away here from the actual Rumble. I got a lot from the actual Rumble match. I'm thinking, like, what's a match that didn't happen, you know, the actual Rumble, but happened at a pay-per-view that's just kind of a memorable moment? And I'm a Rock fan. I like Mick Foley, too. I mean, it was a pretty brutal beatdown, but I guess if I recall going into that match, Rock was the heel. And Mick Foley, or Mankind, I should say, going in, was like this guy who is intolerable to pain, will never say I quit. So the fans said, no matter what The Rock does, he's not going to win the title. I believe the title was on the line for that as well. Was it IC title, or was it...
It was Royal Rumble 1999. It was the WWE Championship.
Okay. And Mankind had it going into it, I believe. The Rock won, because it was an I quit match.
It was at the tape recorder, the infamous tape recorder I quit. Yeah,
because on the pre-show on Saturday Night, Mankind... you know, kind of promo, and he said, I quit, you know, in the middle of the promo, saying, Rock's gonna say, I quit.
Yeah.
But then, after The Rock fucking destroyed Mankind's head with a steel chair, well, Mankind was handcuffed, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
You want to talk about unprotected chair shots? Jesus, God. So, Mankind's lying on the floor in a bloody heap. Rock takes the microphone, sticks it down on Mankind's face. And Rock does the people's eyebrow, too. It's probably his signal for, hit it, guys. And you can hear over the loudspeaker, Mankind from Sunday Night, he's saying, I quit. And that was the end of the match.
This probably would, if we did a top five least favorite Rumble moments, this would probably be mine. Looking back on it...
That's what makes it interesting.
Looking back on it and knowing what we know about, like, chair shots to the head and how pretty WWE and TNA have outlawed them because of concussions and stuff like that. To see, you know, I don't know that I could go back and actually watch this match and see Mankind take a dozen chair shots to the head again. I mean, that's...
Just gives you a headache watching it.
Well, it's just brutal, and especially knowing what we know now about concussions and head injuries, it's just... I don't think I could sit there and watch it again.
Memorable, whether we like it or we don't like it.
It is memorable.
Memorable.
Oh, absolutely. It's memorable. Would not fall into one of my favorites.
And then poor Mrs. McFoley. Like, ah, no! Isn't she kind of gone?
Something like that, yeah. It was Beyond the Mat that showed him backstage doing that. So
yeah, Mick's head was gashed pretty good. Like, Stitching was like, I'm okay, talking to his daughter, it's okay, daddy's okay. And then Rock was sort of slapping his head. He's like, yeah, I could tell you were done when you were turning your head away from me, looking the other way. Like, I got the sign that, all right, I think he's had enough.
Yeah. It was brutal for the time, and even now, looking back on it, pretty brutal because there's just, you know, we watched the ROH show, Gonzo, the ROH pay-per-view where the Briscoes took some chair shots to the head, and there's a chair shot to the head earlier, Kevin Steen and Steve Corino, I believe, did it, and a lot of outrage just from that, you know, a lot of outrage by fans online for that, and I can imagine what it would be like if this match aired today, you know.
Yeah, just because of what we know about brain injuries.
Well,
exactly.
There's no way that match would be now.
For good reason.
Yeah. No, I agree.
My number three... And this may be a little high, but Snitsky, it was actually Snitsky, clotheslining Paul London off the apron and doing the flip. So
son of a bitch, Snitsky did it.
Yes.
See, I always thought it was true.
I believe this is our first Snitsky match
ever.
Yeah,
this will be
ever.
The first and only time, unless we do weirdest characters of all time.
Most legitimately bizarre guys. This was from 2005. It was the big spot in the 2005 Royal Rumble where Paul London was on the apron. And Snitsky gave him this huge clothesline. And London did a flip off the apron and landed face first on the ringside mat. So that was... It was almost like a Taka, except I don't think he got as severely injured as Taka did.
I think I vaguely remember this. Like, I don't fully remember this moment at all. I obviously have seen this Rumble match, but it just doesn't click with me. I think I remember him face planning, but I don't remember Snitsky doing it.
Yep, it was Snitsky, the 2005 Royal Rumble, and I'm watching the YouTube video of it right now. Snitsky with his ribs taped, basically turns London inside out, and the ref is right there on London asking if he's okay. So
like right on him. Pretty much London did a shooting star press off the apron down the floor.
Yeah, that's what it was, pretty much, and landing on the mat.
Holy shit. I remember, Greg, I think I was watching it with you. Or...
Yeah, this was the one we were at the Thorman's apartment.
Okay. And, yeah, the whole living room, I think, went, oh!
Yeah, that was the big spot in that match, so I got to give London some props for that. You know, he's a guy who... if he hadn't done that, would not have been remembered in that Royal Rumble at all, and would not, you know, he's a guy who, you know, is falls through the cracks when remembering certain things about wrestling, obviously. So this is his one memorable shining moment on pay-per-view.
Well, this is where I low blow you two, and with my foot.
Figuratively,
yes.
Okay.
Number three, and my favorite John Cena moment of all time. John Cena returns in 2008 at the number 30 spot to win the Royal Rumble and my first Rumble jackpot.
I actually expected this a little higher. Believe it or not, I knew he was going to have this on the list.
I would think your favorite Rumble moment would be the one that won you money.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know what his number one's got to be.
We'll see.
I actually almost thought about putting this as a tie just to piss you guys off even more by putting Edge in 2010 on there as well.
How would that piss me off?
Because both were surprise entrants and allowed me to win money against you two.
I don't care. I'm over it. Those 3 years
ago. Here's the thing, folks. Cena and Edge were both surprise entrants. You did not expect them in the Rumble. Both of them were coming off of injuries. And Gonzo had both of their numbers, and those were both of his fucking winning. It wins in a Rumble.
See, in 2010, I kind of expected an Edge thing. And I, for my first Rumble jackpot win, I think we only had six people for it. So we each had five tickets. And I had 23, 24, 26, like 28 that. And 30 or something ridiculous like that. Yeah. I had like every number in the 20s.
I remember that.
So I'm sitting there and I got like all the shit. I think Finley was one of my picks and he didn't even come out. That year. I think, like, he had to protect Hornswoggle.
I had Hornswoggle.
Yeah, so he didn't even... And so, we all knew Triple H was probably... We thought Triple H was going to be the winner that year. So I'm sitting there going, gotta be fucking... I gotta have him in one of these picks. So he comes out at 29, the one pick I don't fucking have. And I'm sitting there going, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I go, I'm going to lose this after having fucking six numbers in the 20s? And then John Cena's...
Do you have 29?
It was Doug.
Oh, it was Doug.
Yeah. John Cena comes out at 30, and I'm like, you have got to be fucking kidding me.
Out of nowhere.
I go, you have... Thank you.
He was supposed to be out another 2 months, probably.
I was in a restaurant screaming at the top of my lungs, going, yes! Yes!
Gonzo's already scooping up the cash. About to run.
That is one of my favorite moments, and I will always remember that because I took money from these two. And
I'm going to go on a little tangent here, but... That, your whole Finley not coming out thing makes me think of, like, what if we were, like, all in our 40s now and had been doing the Rumble jackpot, like, in the early 90s? And I remember, like, the 1 year Bastion Burger didn't come out. And somebody would have been really, Bastion Burger never come out. I'm not giving up my money. And, or, you know, having to cheer for the Warlord or something. And it would just be weirdo, you know, doing the Rumble
jackpot. Come on, Mantar.
Yeah. Stephen Dunham, well done. Let's go. You know, it's
Jerry Lawler is still under the ring, guys.
It just makes me think how we would be reacting to our picks from the early 90s if we were old enough to do it then.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Any other comments on Cena winning that Rumble?
Just a huge moment. I'm not a huge Cena fan. At least I'll say his character. I'm not a fan of his character. But whether you're a Cena fan or not, like you said, he's supposed to be out for a long time. Came back. I think everybody we know in the restaurant and certainly in the arena there just was like, you know, the roof blew off place. Everybody just completely surprised.
And that was the first of the return from injuries, because you mentioned Edge, who also returned from injury at the Royal Rumble. And, you know, if Orton hadn't appeared on SmackDown this week, even though he didn't actually wrestle, he brawled, but he didn't wrestle, he was a candidate for another one of those returns in his hometown of St. Louis. So now that that's happened twice and they've won twice, it's always kind of in the back of people's minds when they're thinking about the Rumble. And, you know, geez, WWE says this guy's out for 4 months, but, you know, they've done it before and it brought him back to the Rumble. And now that's something that everybody thinks about with guys on the shelf.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes. Places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week, if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here, because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
Kurt, number three.
My number three is a great Stone Cold Steve Austin moment where he just fucking completely owns and dominates in a nice long streak. So long and so funny, where Austin is sitting on the top turnbuckle, mockingly looking at his wristwatch, wondering when the next son of a bitch is going to come out. Oh, I love that so much. And I remember I have the cassette tape called "Cause Stone Cold Said So," and he does his own little commentary about how he fucking destroyed everybody in that Rumble. And he's like doing his own commentary where he's giving like Phineas Godwin the stunner, like, "There you go, you smelly bastard, out you go." And I just love that moment.
So are you loving the DVD or the match?
Well, the match first, and then the tape.
The moment of Austin eliminating everyone.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And it wound up being Bret Hart, I think, that interrupted everything.
The look on his face, like, it was 97.
Rumble, yes, yeah. It was the 97 Rumble. Fun fact about that, because this was the diesel push that he got in this one. This is the push where somebody gets to eliminate a ton of people every year, which to me is a myth because that doesn't happen every year. So every time people, you know, do their Royal Rumble predictions, oh, who's going to get the diesel push this year? Well, maybe nobody because that doesn't happen every year.
What I define it as a diesel push, though, you got to eliminate a bunch of guys, A, but B, you gotta have some camera time in the middle of the ring, though, just on you while people are going nuts.
See, I think the diesel push has become more of a who dominates the Rumble by throwing a lot of guys out. It doesn't necessarily have to be there in the match alone.
Is this the same Rumble where Austin eliminated, like, the same guys, like, twice? A couple of the guys twice? Like, he eliminated them, went outside the ring, started beating the shit out of them, threw them back in the ring, and then threw them over the top rope again?
I think it is.
Well, there was another one.
Or probably the Elwoodie one.
Yeah, it was a bunch of mid Carters that he was doing it to, where he stunned somebody and then he chucked him over the ropes and he chucked another guy and then came outside the ring, grabbed him, threw him back in, kicked him again and threw him out.
The point I did want to make about the diesel push is that Bart Gunn, in both the diesel push and the Steve Austin diesel push, was eliminated, was one of the guys who ran race and was thrown on. So Bart Gunn actually was in for both of those and was out very quickly for both of those.
Now, if I recall, he was a heel going into that match. He was not a face. And if I recall, that was his push to become a face, right?
Yes, he was still a heel
on the ground waving them all down. People are booing him.
That was the beginning of the switcheroo where people started hating Hart and people started loving Austin.
They weren't booing Hart, but they were definitely cheering Austin.
Because didn't the double turn come at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Ken Shamrock is the referee. Mm-hmm. See, so it was later that year that the double turn happened.
That Rumble ended with Austin actually getting tossed out by Bret Hart.
Right.
But he came back in the ring and dumped out Taker, Vader and Bret Hart.
Because was that Mankind and somebody was brawling outside the ring that the referees had their attention diverted?
And that's when they actually did start a spark of Bret Hart.
His complaining. The complainer.
Yeah, because Bret Hart starts spiking monitors off the ground when he found out that Austin won. And that led to a fatal four-way match where Vader bled heavily. Moving on.
All right, Dan, you're number three.
All right, we're getting our first repeat. HBK Bulldog. I've said it before, and I feel bad saying it because I got to be loyal to myself when I was a kid here. My favorite wrestler as a kid was the Bulldog. I know.
It's okay. You're talking about a man who loved Mr. Anderson and RVD at one point.
Well, fuck off.
Nothing wrong with liking the Bulldog, I don't think.
I like the Bulldog. HBK, yeah, all right. And again, we talked about earlier, the 1 foot down. So I figured I got to be a little loyal to, Bulldog here and give him a shout out. He didn't win, but I mean, for his career, the fact that he made it to number two, I guess that's pretty impressive.
And I'm trying to remember, that was he did end up feuding with Shawn Michaels. Was that before that? Because I remember the whole Diana thing where Diana claimed Shawn Michaels was making a pass at her or something like that, and she got involved in the whole story. I can't remember if that was before or
after. I can't remember either.
So I would say that moment, the first ever European champion when he beat Owen Hart, and the match with Bret, probably his only three highlights of his career.
Well,
I would say, but
Dan, I'll say this: when we do the top five greatest moments in the British Bulldog's career,
you know,
five years from now, when we're desperate for top five, and we have to do that.
You know who to call.
Then we will bring you up for that.
Boy, I will be ready. I will be up here first thing with my sheet, and I'll have as many as I can think of written down.
It was the spring of 1996 where that Bulldog Michaels feud happened. So it was more than a year later. I was a little off on that one, but Anyone else with anything
now,
else about the
role? You know, it's beaten to death, but go ahead, Kurt.
Well, you know, the Bulldog Shawn Michaels thing, which I think led to Beware of Dog involving a pass at Diana. But if I was the Bulldog, and after reading Bret Hart's autobiography, I would have been more worried about Bret Hart coming upon his woman than Shawn Michaels. I mean, Bret Hart was the best there is, the best there was, and the best there will be, and that is getting tail in the hotel room.
I think, yeah, but I think a lot of guys do that, but Bret was one of the few to actually admit it in his book. I mean, a lot of guys who did their autobiographies didn't really talk about that kind of stuff.
You think Bret got more fucking action in a hotel room than Ric Flair in his heyday?
Ric Flair.
I didn't really work much tag matches in the hotel rooms like Rick did, you know. I was more of a one-on-one type of guy. But
thanks, Brett.
Well, me on the other hand, over the top rope battle royals on the bed. You know what? 30 people, one Ric Flair, 29 women. All I lost.
Number two. This actually segues into my number two, believe it or not.
Wow!
Ric Flair wins the 1992 Royal Rumble. Bobby Heenan rejoices. And I want to throw in his post-match interview, which was great.
Best moment of my life.
Yeah, it was the greatest. This is the greatest moment in my life, he said. With a tear in his eyes.
This is the greatest moment of my life. And then Bobby Heenan and Mr. Perfect's like, well, we hate to say we told you so, but we told you so.
Boy, who needs YouTube when you got Kurt Hennig?
You know, Flair, the whole thing with Flair and Bobby Heenan really accentuated that. I mean, that was probably his best performance on commentary was during that match, he and Gorilla. And Flair, you know, a great job during that match. It was a really fun moment. It was probably ranks up there as probably one of the top two or three Royal Rumble matches in history, a lot of people have said. So, yeah, that for all those reasons and more, it's my number two.
Oh, so that great moment right there. I mean, you had the two biggest stars before Austin ever in wrestling in the same last three. And he had Sid in there, who obviously is a personal favorite of everybody. So,
always.
What's not to like about the end of that match, huh?
I enjoyed it. I'll say that. You know, Flair, that was Flair's time to really get put over in the WWF after coming over from the NWA, WCW, so.
Now, if I recall, he had a little help there at the end. I believe, was it Hulk Hogan that helped?
Hogan doing a very, very heel-like
reached up and kind of gave him a little helpful tug there on the tights to the guy that he was eliminating.
He pulled Sid's arm.
Yeah.
He grabbed Sid by the arm.
Okay.
And Flair came from behind and dumped him, and he had Sid and Hogan arguing, and that was one of Hogan's more heelish moves in his WWF run, where he was definitely protected as a top babyface, not so much as what happened in WCW, where, you know, he dressed in black and kind of did the heel interviews before turning it to the NWO. But, you know, he was definitely protected as a babyface, but this is one of his more heelish actions in the WWF. And
I found that completely bizarre that somebody is pure as Hulk Hogan all of a sudden.
As pure as Hulk Hogan.
Well, his character, come on.
He thought that he had to deal with Sid Justice, and, you know, Sid, he felt that Sid broke that agreement, and he was going to get back at him.
I guess.
Maybe as simple as that, I guess.
And then Sid pretty much threatened to murder Hulk Hogan in the arena.
I'll kill you!
Hogan's like, hey, brother, come on. Hey, come on, take a
match.
It's every man for himself, big boy!
Gonzo, number two.
My number two is the CM Punk in-match promo. I was a huge fan of this. I think it accentuated Punk's strengths as a wrestler, which is his mic work, obviously, and it just got better. Did I mess up my English? You're giving me a look.
No, it's just funny that his strongest point as a wrestler is...
I get your point, but...
No, but that, you know...
But it makes sense, I think. I mean, as Vince always says, you gotta have some charisma and some mic work to make it in the industry, right?
Absolutely. So, no one really doubted CM Punk's mic work. But
well, I mean, but he...
He got to put it
this was a point. Yeah, this was a leaping point for him. I mean, obviously, they put him in the Straight Edge Society and stuff like this, and this was still at the peak of that before it got ruined, like usual, with things. But it was great. And, I mean, I was really surprised during the match that Beth Phoenix took the GTS from CM Punk, actually.
That I don't remember.
I don't remember that either.
Yes, she did. Yeah. I was very surprised because I watched the video before this. That's how I knew she eliminated all those people. But
there was love at first sight between the two.
apparently, that's where they hit it off.
Now she can really take that GTS. I wonder if she's dating it.
Yeah, because he gave it to her, and then he grabbed her by the tights and threw her over the rope. But I remember all of us being fixated during that like 6 or 7 minute stretch, and we're like, "How long is this going to last?" And I feel like we were disappointed when we heard Triple H's music come.
Well, I'm always disappointed. Well,
but we knew the end was coming when that happened. So,
and I think out of all the Rumbles, we're always looking at that clock, waiting for the countdown to come on. You feel like you're watching intensely, but this one, it's almost like it was relief. Like he got on the microphone, we forgot about the clock. He just starts talking. He's putting on a good show. And you're in the Rumble, but it was almost like it was just kind of like talking points for him for a little bit. You kind of forgot about the Rumble, and it was entertaining. I mean, he just...
And then the clock comes up, and you're like, oh, wait, yeah.
Back to the match.
He even says after he eliminated somebody, he says, "Now I'm so sorry after I was rudely interrupted." Yes.
That's what got it over with me. As if, how dare someone enter the Rumble and try to win a match to WrestleMania while he's talking. That was just so great. Definitely a highlight of his career. Kurt, number two.
Number two is HBK coming in at number one and winning it.
Really? I'm surprised it's making everybody's list.
I know it's a shit Rumble, but it was a great moment. I mean, coming in at number one and going all the way to number 30. Plus, you can see the excitement of Shawn Michaels after he tosses Bulldog's ass over the top rope, and he's fucking throwing his arms around like, "Yeah, motherfucker!"
And in contrast, the non-excitement on Pamela Anderson's face.
Yeah, Pamela Anderson, finally woke up.
I'm not getting paid yet. Looks like she'd rather be anywhere but...
Did she have the China days, or was this just a not wanting to be there? By the China days, I mean the TNA run China, where she was completely drugged over.
She was just not interested, in the least.
I'm trying to remember how that all broke down. It wound up being Diesel versus Michaels, right? At the pay-per-view, or WrestleMania.
That sounds right.
Because I think you had Pamela Anderson bringing
Shawn McCarthy with Diesel, yes.
That's right. And if I remember correctly, I think that's WrestleMania where Bob Backlund was taking on Jonathan Taylor Thompson chess. I think.
Wow.
Good side right there.
Okay. Yeah, anybody got Bob Backlund next?
funny you should say that, Kurt. What a segue into my number... No, speaking of Bob Backlund.
I'm surprised I haven't heard any Tenru love yet.
Tenru with the chop.
Yes.
No, he just missed my honorable mentions for that.
Tenru, baby. Every time, it got to the point where, Greg and I started watching these Rumbles, and every time Tenru comes out, he's the fucking human chopping machine. And he's the real slap chop. And then it got to the point where, like, the last Rumble Tenru was in, he's already sizing up his hands for the chops coming down the aisle. He's like, oh.
I think in one of his Rumbles, because I think he was in 93 and 94, in one of the Rumbles, we actually counted the moves other than chops that he did. And it was like three. He was in there for 10 minutes. And I think he did like three other moves besides a chop. One was a headbutt.
And then when Flair and Tenru met in
Yes.
Holy shit.
Play your shot game where you have to take a shot every time there's a chop. You'd be on the floor before then.
Yeah. But yeah, chop match between Flair and Tenru, goddamn.
Call an ambulance for you.
There was not a single white chest in the crowd, I can tell you. It was all pink.
Dan, number two.
Number two. I'm surprised nobody said it, but then again, maybe this might make, like, Greg's bad list.
Come on now, don't be a poor sport.
All right, I've always rooted for the heels. I'm a heel guy. It depends on who it is, but I always like the heels. So do you know where I'm going with this yet?
No.
What's like the biggest like disappointment? The fans walked out like, "Are you kidding me?"
Yokozuna. Well,
all right, Vince McMahon beat Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think he got his butt kicked like the entire time with Stone Cold, but. If I recall, he had a little assistance there or something, or a surprise.
Well, Vince McMahon wins the Rumble, right?
And
he did most of that on commentary.
99.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he also...
Well, that's because he waited to go into the ring, right?
And Austin got his ass beat in the locker room by the whole locker room or something
and
like
he
that.
He had a bounty out on Austin.
Yeah. Like, or in the bathroom. Yeah.
He got jumped by the corporation in the fucking shitter in the men's room.
Is that the one where Vince put a bounty out on Austin?
Yeah,
so. Yeah.
Yeah, so we got Vince coming in, throwing Austin from behind. I think his back was turned. I mean, it wasn't a legit win, or he waited to go in. But I think it was the following year after that, I mean, that Austin and Stone Cold started 1 and 2. And
Austin and who?
Austin and Vince started 1 and 2 the following year, if I recall, in the Royal Rumble.
In 2000.
In the following year. And Stone Cold beat the crap out of Vince, but still Vince eliminated him again because of some other stuff that was going on in the ring. I believe Vince bloody battered, beaten, still threw Stone Cold out again, but he took quite a beating for revenge.
In 2000, the first two entrants were D'Lo Brown and Grandmaster Sexton.
Well, then my homework is off. I could have sworn they started 1 and 2. Maybe was it the same one that he won, I'm wondering, or
it must have been.
I think they both started and then they like fought.
They started
for a while.
Maybe he took off and came back.
Yeah, like
later.
Austin was like somewhere in the corridor for a while.
Alright, maybe we're all in the same one here.
They left Austin lying there bloodied and broken. And
Austin and McMahon were 1 and 2 in 99.
Alright, yeah. There it is.
And
okay,
what happened
it's all
was
one then.
Vince McMahon went on commentary throughout the majority of the Rumble after they
that
beat the fuck out of Austin. And then Austin started coming back, and then all hell broke loose.
Yeah, because didn't he get, like, stretchered out in an ambulance and taken to the local medical facility, quote-unquote? Yeah. So
wait a minute. Did Vince start 1 or 2 in that one?
2.
All right, so he didn't go the distance, technically.
Well, I mean, the bell rings with both of them.
Yeah, but I guess 1 always gets the credit, I thought. Or 2 was never wanted, I guess, I don't think. A number 2
well,
spot.
Vince won. 2.
Oh, duh, hello.
And wasn't Ray 2 or was he 3?
Ray was...
Ray was 1, wasn't he?
Oh, he was... No.
Wasn't Benoit?
Ray was
Ray
1.
Ray was 1.
Ray was 1. That's what surprised
nobody.
I think
Benoit
lasted the longest.
I think
we're talking about HBK a lot, but I think Ray went the distance as well.
I thought Ray was 2.
Ray Mysterio is the current record of the longest person.
Yeah, but I think I thought he was 2, though.
Oh.
He lasted the
Benoit
longest.
Was 2.
That's not... Oh, okay.
Benoit won from 2. Benoit was 2. Didn't win.
So what was Ray then? Was Ray...
Let me check.
What year did Ray win? 2005, right? Or something like that?
2005, Batista won. Ray won from number 2, 2006.
Ah-ha!
So, Kurt, that...
Wasn't there one other person?
Benoit won from 1.
Okay.
I knew I was right. I was like, Mysterio didn't start
that's,
1.
That's what it was, Kurt. Kurt's current on that. He was the longest time in there. I kept thinking automatically that meant he
meant... Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily... I mean, 1 could have been eliminated a long time ago.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
So... It could be just a long match.
Okay, now on for my number 1. And Gonzo, you joke about this, but it's my number 1. Bob Backlund, at 42 years old, sets the Rumble record lasting over an hour in 1993.
I remember that, yeah.
He was a mid-carder, got no pop coming out, he had no music, but by the end of the match, people were cheering him, they booed when he got eliminated, they cheered when he stood up to go backstage after the match. That's how you make a mid-carder into a big deal, to me. And they did that with Bob Backlund. Not only props to WWE for doing that, but props to Bob Backlund at 42 years old, lasting over an hour in the Rumble.
I completely forgot about that moment. But now that you've said it, I also remember going, wow, I cannot believe he's going this long. Because no one cared about him at all.
Yeah.
So you would think that he would be one of those guys that would be in there 5 minutes tops and would get thrown over the rope and you'd never see him again.
And you'd think you'd want to conserve energy knowing you're going to be in the ring for an hour. He ran to the ring. Which everybody did back then.
And if I recall, didn't they, I think it was 2000, he made a little appearance again there and didn't last
as
long.
Yeah, and then
but...
he went back up into the stands to campaign for his run or whatever like that. So yes, Bob Backlund, it was 2000 because it was at MSG.
Short-lived, obviously, but I mean...
Yeah, I think he only lasted like 2 minutes that time, but yes, he did.
Not much of a pop for him, but...
No, not much at all. So, that's my number 1.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events. And then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Backlund, never really would have seen that coming.
Oh, no, yeah, and the surprise factor, too.
Now, there's also a little something that me and Greg like to call the Rikishi Award, where it's the opposite of Backlund. It's people that we felt were in the fucking Rumble for way too damn long, and they should have been tossed out like a half an hour ago, and yet somehow they're in the Rumble for that long, and it's just upsetting. Just seeing Rikishi on my TV for, you know, 45 minutes.
Yeah, this is what...
I don't think there's worse than Rikishi, though.
This is what happens when you watch Royal Rumble after Royal Rumble and, you know, see guys in the ring that...
just shouldn't be in there anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you should have been gone, like, fucking 15 minutes ago. So, we're trying to wonder now, who's going to get the Rikishi Award for this year?
I believe the Rikishi Award for last year probably went to Michael McGillicuddy, who was in there for 15 minutes.
Yes. Well, it's 40 guys.
David Otunga.
David Otunga
would be my Rikishi.
I don't think he's going to last more than 5 minutes.
I'll go with that.
I'm going to somehow say Heath Slater. Somehow,
Gabriel would be.
We're going with a Nexus theme here. It looks like. Yeah, it's certainly going to be somebody who's
Gabriel starting to get a little push.
They're young.
No.
Yeah.
Well, Gabriel though, he would get more credit for going longer because you'd think you'd like for him to go longer, but for somebody like Heath Slater. There's just no hope.
It's somebody who like came out 20 numbers ago and is still in, and you're like, he's still in the Rumble.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
How is he still in this? So that's the impetus for that award. Gonzo, your number one.
My number one is the 92 Rumble finish. I mean, there's so much to like about this. I hated Hogan. Hogan showed a heel tactic by being a spoiled bitch at the end of the match. What's not to like about that? The greatest wrestler in the world at the time ends up becoming a first-time WWF champion at the time.
Good point. That was actually the match for the title.
Yeah, because it was vacant, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And then you also had Sid finally going heel, which would have been my decision 10 years ago if I knew about, if I had him on my roster. Why they brought him in as a face to begin with made no damn sense to me. It's every man for himself, big boy thing. And
for himself.
Yeah, for himself, sorry.
Big boy!
It was just awesome. And then the aftermath of it where you got Heenan on commentary talking about his meal ticket winning. And then in the backstage with Perfect and Flair cutting a great promo. It just doesn't get any better than that.
And I wanted to allow you to get that all off your chest because that was my number one as well, Ric Flair. Big moment for him.
I figured this would be a lot of people's number one.
Absolutely. And it's probably my favorite Royal Rumble. It just has to be. I mean, star-studded. Yeah, Hogan, Flair, Sid, Roddy Piper, I believe.
Taker had to be in it. I got to think.
I want to say so. Yeah, just fucking jacked to the gills with talent. And such a big moment with Flair winning it. And Bobby Heenan, of course. Oh, spectacular job at commentary. And, he was over that Monsoon, right? Yeah. Because I think I remember every time Flair's about ready to go, you keep hearing Monsoon going, "Oh, there goes your meal ticket, Bobby!" And it was this spectacular Rumble. There's just nothing wrong with that at all. And I, for the life of me, can't remember any other matches that happened before that Rumble match.
Well, you know, that's a good sign now.
Yeah, it was, just for... clarification sake, the New Foundation fought the Orient Express, Roddy Piper against the Mountie, the Beverly Brothers against the Bushwhackers, and the Natural Disasters against LOD.
That's why you don't remember any of
them. How can I forget all of that?
The names in this match, Teddy Biasi, Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Kerry Von Erich, Big Boss Man, Roddy Piper, Jake Roberts, The Undertaker, Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter, Sid.
Jesus.
You could have 15 winners out of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
I remember does somebody bring a ladder into that ring?
I don't think so. I can't remember.
I thought somebody I thought was spinning like around with a ladder or some shit like that.
That sounds like a Piper thing to do, but wasn't that the one where Hulk Hogan's t-shirt lasted longer than most of
them? But I remember, I think it was Flair and Michaels that looked like they were the only ones that are walking in the ladder, feeding themselves to it, see who can, like, out-bump the others.
I don't know. It doesn't sound familiar.
No, I don't.
Dan, number one.
All right, closes out here. I originally had in my top five the Flair one you guys were talking about. It did get bumped down, we'll mention. It's the way it goes, I guess. You guys said it perfectly, everything that added up, the guys that were in it, the way it happened, the vacant title. Perfect. This one that I'm going to say for my number one, we've already talked about it. It was literally like a kind of 5 second, like WTF jaw dropping. So it doesn't match up to kind of like a Flair, but I picked it as my number one just because that sudden jolt of like energy for the 5 seconds Cena's return 2 years ago.
I mean, does it live up to Flair and all that stuff? No, but I'm just going based on the WTF for, like, the 5 seconds, like, wow,
yeah.
He's supposed to be out for another 2 months, and he is here right now, and he's probably going to go down and raise hell.
And speaking of numbers, guys, how did Mr. Perfect's return not make it number one? I thought for sure that was going to be number one.
Unbelievable. A brilliant explanation.
Yeah, as we said, Cena's return really kicked off the return at the Royal Rumble and was a huge deal, surprised a lot of people. Great pop at the arena, great pop at our restaurant from Gonzo. So
I like storylines like the Flair thing, but I also sometimes I like more of just those big kind of like
unexpected
kind of like, whoa, what just happened? And like kind of same thing with Edge. We'll give him a shout out there. Edge the following year. You know, that we didn't expect that either, I don't think. He was supposed to be injured or, you know, so.
All right, let's go to honorable mentions. And, folks, we're going to go over our allotted time here. We're already at, I think, 56 minutes, so this will be an
good
extra
news, large. I have none.
This will be an extra large.
We're already making
an extra large version of the show, so. And
just like how the Royal Rumble match is, like, the longest match of the year, this episode might be the longest episode of the year.
Okay. My honorable mentions was Road Dogg grabs the bottom rope, holds on for dear life in 2000.
Yes!
And I don't know why more people don't do this, but that was a pop just for making sense. You know? Maven eliminates Undertaker from 2002. Mr. Perfect returns in 2002. Santino Marella almost wins the Rumble 2011. The debut of the Diesel Push, Diesel, 1994. Vince McMahon tears both quads running into the ring in 2005. Mickey James squashes Michelle McCool for the Piggy James angle and wins the women's title in 2010. I thought that was a perfect cap to a pretty good feud leading up to that. And Owen Hart turns on Bret, 1994.
Son of a bitch. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that one, too.
I'm so focused on the Rumble matches.
Exactly. I specifically went through and looked at the non-Rumble matches and said, gee, are there any that stand out to me here? Kurt, honorable mentions?
Well, I originally thought it was JBL, but apparently it was Snitsky killing London. Mr. Perfect's return. Cena coming in at number 30. The John Morrison Spider-Man technique. Macho Man trying to pin Yokozuna. At the end of the Rumble, the Yokozuna wins. Are you kidding me, Macho? 91?
Or 93? 93. Yeah,
And that was, I believe, the first ever Rumble where the winner is going to go to WrestleMania.
Yes,
I believe so. Champion. And Macho Man apparently thinks, if I pin him, I can still win the match, right?
Well, it's one of those things where his finishing move is the elbow drop off the top rope, and what's the thing he does next in every match? Covers the guy. So that was, it's almost like second nature to do that.
Kev love him.
Yeah.
Well, go figure. But he's been in these matches before, you know, that's what I don't get about it. But anyways, Daniel Pewter getting a shit knocked out of him. I believe he came in pretty early in the match, and he just won Tough Enough, and boy, oh boy, they fucked him up. And they were holding him. I think like Benoit or somebody was holding him when the next entrant comes out. Bob Holly.
Bob Holly looked like he just saw, like, he was going to sit down for a nice steak dinner. Yes. With the eyes on him.
He fucking saw King cut a prime rib, au jus, mashed potatoes.
That was 2005.
Raw and SmackDown sides of the Rumble splitting apart.
I did think about that. Back when the brand split meant something.
Back when the brand split meant something, and you had the awesome, it's gonna be a Rumble tonight. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the Rumble, everybody starts, Gonzo remembers the videos, in the middle of the match, everybody starts parting like the sea, like what the hell's going on here? Oh, wait, those are SmackDown guys, and those are Raw guys. Oh, shit. And the crowd's really getting into that. That was such a
cool one. I almost put that on my honorable mentions.
Drew Carey almost getting killed by Kane. And then finally, the illustrious Diesel Push.
Okay, Dan, honorable mentions.
All right, they've pretty much been said. Flair wins 92. John Morrison's
acrobatics.
Kane eliminating 11 people.
Okay, yep.
CM Punk with his microphone work. Taz chokes out Kurt Angle, and Kurt complains that he wasn't allowed to do that the match
last week.
Yeah, that was on our list last week for best debuts. So good call. All
right,
about that one.
Drew Carey gets eliminates himself before he gets beat down. and Austin, it comes down to Austin and The Rock, Mike Tyson in the crowd. That whole segment and Rock's stunning him Austin stunning Rocky, almost shakes it off, and then just grabs him and hucks him over the top rope, and that's the match.
I think Drew Carey was saved by Raven, and they turned that match.
Because he came out and the Hardy Boys were in the ring, right? And then they eliminated each other or something like that.
And then Kane was about ready to chokeslam Drew Carey. Yeah,
Raven should have inducted him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Brain Busters now, where we test our mental acuity with wrestling knowledge. And I will go first. We're going to talk about some Royal Rumble returns. And not just who has returned, but I will ask you this. What surprise entrant of the Royal Rumble has lasted the longest in that match on his return? And I think there are two acceptable answers to this. Think of the Royal Rumble returns, who has made their returns.
Lasted the longest.
It's Royal Rumble surprise or Royal Rumble returns. So I'll say returns.
Was Backlund around when he got that 40 or hour long push?
No, not that great.
But I'm thinking a lot of returns, but they're towards the end
I'm thinking it's got to be, remember that Rumble it had, like everybody coming, the Mr. Perfect Rumble?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it might have been one of those people that came in, like, maybe I'll say Goldust.
Perfect lasted for a while in that Rumble, I think.
But yeah,
I get the feeling that he wouldn't have discussed it if it was.
Greg, meanwhile, is waiting patiently for our answer while playing solitaire.
Guy's got to do what he's got to do, man.
But yeah,
I'm going to go with whatever you got.
Confident. I'll jump on you guys.
As I, Kurt Hoffman, represents the group, I'm going to say Goldust.
Right Rumble, wrong guy. It was Mr. Perfect.
I know Perfect lasted a long time.
Perfect lasted 15 minutes and 18 seconds. However, I also would have accepted Tenryu, who in 1994 lasted 17 minutes and 21 seconds. And since that's the only time he's wrestled, technically it was a return from last year, the year before, so I would have also accepted Tenryu.
But you said a surprise.
Perfect wasn't a surprise, though. They aired vignettes leading up to that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just a weird one, and this has nothing to do with anything, but I wanted to bring this up, but does anyone know who had the longest time between Rumble appearances? Who had the longest gap in their Rumble appearances?
Did you just say it was Tenryu?
No. That was only a yearly year.
Snuka?
I'm talking about
hasn't been a Rumble for that
right,
long.
Yeah.
Snuka is a possibility, because Snuka came back at that one Rumble not too long ago. Two or three years ago.
Some odd reason I'm going to say Hacksaw Jim.
I'm going to go with Snuka.
Any guesses? I think it was actually Roddy Piper. 16 years.
That must have been in the same one as Snuka.
His last one was, I think Snuka might have been in 93.
That's the one where he was freaking huge Piper was.
Piper 92, and then he came back in 08.
Yeah.
So,
of course, I had the right ear area.
On the live cast this week, we talked about what guys could possibly be surprise entrants in the Rumble. We had Diesel and Nash last year. We had RVD a few years ago. Guys, I want to get your opinions. Throw out a few names who you think will be surprise entrants in the Rumble this year.
I'm going to go very bold and say Undertaker, Rock.
Rock, I would buy. Taker, I don't think, because then you'd have him getting eliminated, and I don't think that's something you'd want to do. I think you want to keep the mystique there for his rematch with Triple H.
What about Batista?
Batista was a name thrown out on the live cast. If you've seen him lately, he is really...
Jack.
Small.
No, small.
And there's a picture of him with
He may have gained some weight since then, but he's
going to get back.
He wouldn't look anything like I don't think we remember him. And he really wants nothing to do with the current product. So,
I'm going to go bold. I know
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar. No, not Lesnar. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Jesus.
And that would lead to something at WrestleMania?
No, just a one-offer. For a pop.
The question is, if you're going to have Austin wrestle at your pay-per-view...
Not wrestling, he's just in a Rumble.
That's
not really wrestling. Have you seen the Rumble match? One guy punches a guy in the back and he knows
something. Advertise that ahead of time?
Would Flair or HBK come back, or are they retired and they're not stepping foot?
Flair's in TNA. And HBK is going to stay retired.
Yeah.
I'm going with some simpler ones. I threw out Goldust, leading to a match with Cody eventually. I'd say Rikishi.
There you go. Maybe I'll get the Rikishi Award.
We're through the looking glass, folks. Not only are his sons in WWE, but I can see a dance off with Brodus Clay. Another guy I think could return is Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He's always up for a return. Those are some names that I throw out on the live because I think The Rock is a good possibility. To lead to something with John Cena.
Triple H, is he all business now?
I see Triple H
could be in it. Right. He could be in it, but again, would you want to get thrown out? I mean, who would you get thrown out by, and how would that start? How would that
damages your reputation?
So Undertaker and Triple H, and they do like a Cactus clothesline. They both go over the top rope.
I mean, it almost feels like if you have one in, you've got to have the other in, just to build that story to WrestleMania. Anyone else? I mean, Gonzo, you said Lesnar before, and I strongly disagree with that. But
I'll stick with it.
Excuse me. Anyone else have anything on their minds that they want to throw in there for some surprises for the Rumble?
I'd like to think maybe Jamie Noble might make it.
That's wishful thinking on your part, Dan, and I don't know why you would wish that. But some people are saying Kevin Nash again. I think
the luster would be off of that. It's a surprise.
Absolutely. X-Pac, man. There you go.
I see someone like Booker again coming in.
X-Pac is an interesting
Booker
choice.
Booker,
yeah.
What about Road Dogg?
Road Dogg could. He works backstage now. That's a possibility as well. There you go. Gonzo, what's... save yours for last. We'll do the predictions last. Kurt, what do you got for us?
Mine involves... good old Johnny Laurinaitis. My question is, what move did the Ace Man actually invent? And the second part of the question is, what did he call it?
Well, the Ace Crusher is what it was called. And
wasn't this on the video of Facebook? Didn't he create the RKO or the Diamond Cutter?
It was on Facebook.
Yes. Good thing you got here. Kurt, you would have gotten me with that one if it makes you feel any better.
I'm just testing to see who's actually watching the videos that people are posting. That's all.
I do lurk. I just don't post a lot.
And Dan, it wouldn't have been a big deal if you didn't know that because he spent most of his time in Japan
Hold the fuck up. Wait, Gonzo. I lurk. I just don't post a lot. Did you not post on Facebook about a week ago saying how new people need the sound off?
Yeah.
Maybe they just want to lurk and don't want to post.
Maybe did you guys not see my explanation? I just want to be able to say hi to people.
If they want to say hi, they'll say hi.
Well, then, say hi.
But nevertheless, never saw it coming back. Johnny Ace.
Yeah.
Ace Crusher.
Ace Crusher it was. The big thing at the end of Raw this week was the threat of Johnny Ace being ousted as GM already by Triple H come Monday. If Johnny Ace doesn't toe the line and call the match at the pay-per-view down the middle. We had Johnny Ace admit the week before that he was going to screw CM Punk. Now he's got this weighing on the other side. He's got the good Johnny Ace and the bad Johnny Ace on his shoulder now saying, gee, you're CM Punk.
Can you talk like that with both sides? Everybody? You got Angel Laurinaitis talking and Devil Laurinaitis.
Johnny.
I'm good, Ace. You should respect the world title and not screw over CM Punk. I'm bad, Ace. I would agree with Good Ace, but I think that CM Punk is an asshole. So you can fuck him over.
He's got... unfortunately, the match has taken a backseat to Johnny Ace's decision, basically, is to screw Punk or not to screw Punk. What do you guys expect on Monday? Do you expect him to get fired, and who would replace him as GM?
The only thing I can think about during that segment, not to change it up on that, is... how in the hell did Triple H become the reviewer since the board of directors thought that he was not proper?
Well, he's still COO.
But
he's
still.
Just not, I know.
He's incapable of being the general manager, but he's now going to oversee the new person who replaced him in the general manager.
Been with him a little bit. Yeah.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
Yeah, it is silly, but, I mean, what do you think?
Stupid answer, but I'd like to see what happens tomorrow night.
Before, I understand, but
I'm going to go with Laurinaitis plays it straight, Punk retains, and he keeps his job.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go one better. I'm actually think that he's going to get officially becomes like the real general manager instead of the temporary.
Can I change my opinion?
Yeah.
Laurinaitis plays it straight.
Still gets fired.
CM Punk retains the title. Triple H pedigrees Laurinaitis and fires him.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he plays it straight and he gets fired anyway. So.
All right. That's true.
But I don't know. I mean, who replaces him? McFoley?
Yeah.
Why not?
I'm really
I don't want to see that again, but I could see that happening.
Foley was really entertaining as the commissioner, so I just feel like Johnny's kind of hitting his stride as GM. I'm finding him, he's a guilty pleasure.
No matter what happens, you think he's gone, whether he's fair or not fair?
No, I don't necessarily, that would be my prediction, but it wouldn't surprise me, like Kurt said, if he was, you know, granted, but that would make almost Triple H a heel. It's to make Johnny Ace the permanent Raw GM, right?
Maybe Triple H would say, well, it's not just me, it's everybody else, and blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts here. I'm interested to see where they go.
I'm interested to see how they're going to make me angry.
It's not possible, because the Royal Rumble match is after that, and that makes all things well.
You'd think so. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay, what if you win the jackpot? Are you still going to be pissed?
No.
All right, see? Exactly.
There you go. Money helps everything, folks.
All right, Dan, what's your question?
All right. I did a really good job of doing some investigative work. I found a really good fact. I wrote it down, but then I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to ask this as a question? I've got the fact here, and there was a way I could word it, but I think you guys would get it off the bat. So I'm trying to make it tough.
And this is based on SmackDown.
Yeah, SmackDown. Watch SmackDown. I wanted to look up a fact. I'm like, I wonder. Looked it up. It was a good fact. I'm just wondering how to ask it. Big Show is the first wrestler to accomplish what? And think big.
Closed down a buffet in one night.
Let's keep it in the ring. I'll probably agree with that as well.
This is interesting.
It's a bad question. I got to maybe add hints if you guys can get the first wrestler to do what. And I might go one up and say he may be the only wrestler to do it.
He is the first wrestler to steamroll an under 100-pound woman in kayfabe storyline.
And you would think out of all the wrestlers of all time, I would not think of the Big Show the first one to...
The first one to hold a certain number of titles?
You're on the right track.
Oh, I was going to say, he was the first man to jump on top of a casket while he's moving down the road.
That's it.
You guys are all... Come on now. Be serious here. Will you stop?
I knew it was be a Big Show question. I'm like, well, I don't know how much serious...
The first to hold a tag team title and another title? Is that... Am I on the right
track? All right, so he just won... I believe the WWE Championship for 45 seconds, which made it the second time I believe he won it, right?
Yeah, he won it once before. What, they made a big deal 8 years ago or
something
like that?
Yeah, yeah. All right, so he won that for the second time. I'm on, let's forget tag teams, let's move up to the highest level.
WWE Championship.
Okay, I know.
What else?
Big Show holds the record for the fastest title reign.
No.
I'm sorry. The first person to do
that. This person, he held the WWE title or WF title for two times. He was the WCW champ two times. He was the ECW champ one time. And he was also the World Heavyweight Champion one time.
So he's held all the major titles.
He's the first wrestler to hold all the major titles. And he might be the only one. I forgot how I read
it. But has he held the Ring of Honor title?
For the TNA World
Champion. I didn't catch the ring. Maybe that's on his to-do list. Who knows?
I guess we could say all WWE-owned major titles, I guess.
And again, poorly worded question. I'm like, hey, that's a really good fact I wrote down. And then, like, you guys would get to me. I'm like, how do I even want to ask this question?
No, that's a good question and a good fact. And
Poorly worded on my part.
No, it's all right. That brings us to SmackDown, where it appears that Mark Henry suffered yet another injury.
Mark Henry broke his leg or knee doing a punch to the Big Show. He did not get hit. He was the one doing the hitting.
And we never saw him after that. That was it.
Yeah, then he disappeared. What do you guys... Obviously, there's no official word in from WWE or anyone. What do you... Do you think he's going to be able to make it to the pay-per-view on Sunday?
I say Mark Henry's he's a big guy. And I think if you got a really good athletic wrestler, I would almost do one of those things, story write it, where
one of those triple threat matches where like Kurt Angle goes through a table and gets a concussion. He's gone for 40 minutes. He comes back just enough to break up the pin. I'd say like my original thought is have him come down. Something happened too early where he at least is hanging around where he's in the match, but he doesn't do much. Maybe a spot in here and there. But if this guy, as big as he is, if this is a serious injury, I don't want to see him down there limping around like right. trying to do what he can. It's just a joke, you know?
Well, the other thing I brought up was this plays perfectly into the storyline that Daniel Bryan wanted Big Show to hurt Mark Henry. And they could play it off as somehow Big Show hurt Mark Henry, and he wasn't, or, you know.
Not Mark Henry to hurt Big Show.
Well, okay, the other
Big
way.
Big Show was hurting Henry.
Right. So you could do something where Henry backstage during the pay-per-view was shown left Lang, and, you know, who attacked him. Was it Big Show? Was it Daniel Bryan? Did Bryan get someone else to attack Mark Henry? I think you could play that up a little, too.
Or maybe you could keep playing into the Big Show's head. Like how he took out his girlfriend and then he hurt Mark Henry. He's like, that's all you do is just hurt people, you big dumb beast. Yeah. Why don't you retire?
The other thing is, this kind of muddies the water for WrestleMania. Again, we don't know how long Henry is out for, but if it's it looked a bit like a very serious injury. I mean, it looks like it's a non-contact injury, and those are usually pretty serious. If he's out for WrestleMania, you know, there goes my meal ticket, because I predicted Mark Henry to hold the world title at WrestleMania. You could do a Daniel Bryan Big Show, but we've seen that. A Randy Orton. Do you do a Randy Orton?
They'd have to lose Daniel... the
elimination.
Something's got to go on at the elimination. I just don't see. Maybe it's there, but I think Big Show, Daniel Bryan headline WrestleMania. I think you got to have some sort of stipulation in there that we haven't seen
yet. Yeah, I don't think. I think it's more likely Bryan Orton Big Show and Shaq.
I think that you could see a multi-man match for the World Heavyweight title. I think you could see like a Fatal 4-Way so, somewhere in the middle with like Sheamus and Wade Barrett and Randy Orton.
Well, they're going to do Money in the Bank again this year at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. They've eliminated the pay-per-view from whatever, and they're doing Money in the Bank again at WrestleMania.
Smart move.
That's a good
they
idea.
They moved TLC, I think, to Money in the Bank spot. And the pay-per-view.
So what's the new name of the new pay-per-view?
And they've added bragging rights back to December.
Yeah, that mattered.
Yeah, bragging rights.
Yeah, I know. And my argument was I like the Money in the Bank. I like the one briefcase, and I like it being back at WrestleMania. But Money in the Bank pay-per-view was like a guaranteed thumbs-up show because it had the two Money in the Bank matches, and they were always good for 3 to 4 star ranges.
See, bragging rights could have potential to be awesome if they made it matter.
Right, but they're not gonna, and maybe they'll be bragging rights about something else, and it won't be, you know, Raw versus SmackDown.
My question is, with these Money in the Banks, when are we going to get our first wrestler who is going to lose when cashing in? Because it's almost like an Undertaker thing. Oh, WrestleMania, he's going to win. Yeah, it's a good match, but I already know the outcome.
And a lot of people have predicted Bryan to be that person. And
I thought he was, too. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, okay, well, these are going to be great matches, but it's like a guarantee when you grab that briefcase, you're going to be the world champion whenever you want to be. I don't know. It's almost time, I think, to throw that monkey wrench in there.
I agree. I think it should go that way, too. But, yeah, and how do we expect... Do we expect AJ to play a part in the match at the Rumble, guys? Title match?
No. I don't think so. I think they're going to keep her off camera.
Seeing the new developments, maybe. I mean...
I can see Caitlyn helping Daniel Bryan out, creating a little jealousy.
We talked about this last week.
The rabbit hole gets deeper.
We talked about this last week. They were back on camera this week, although Caitlyn seems skeptical of Daniel Bryan. I don't know how they...
But Daniel Bryan's charm already worked on AJ. It could work on Caitlyn as well.
I guess, but... all right, Gonzo, hit us up with your...
you guys almost ruined my question, too.
Sorry.
Who were the 11 men Kane eliminated during the 2001 Royal Rumble match?
Jesus.
Okay, I'll have to go.
I'll give you three misses.
I'll have to go on an honor system that I'm not looking it up, but 2001?
Yes, 2001 was when he eliminated the 11.
Wait, we're not going to submit. Can we throw out ideas but not count?
Yeah. When you say Gonzo was someone.
When Drew Carey, was that someone where he hopped over, but you have to smack somebody over, knock somebody over? I don't know if he got credit for that.
It is the same one as Drew Carey.
Okay.
That was the Rumble.
Do you get
Drew
credit
Carey
if he eliminated... He eliminated himself.
Yeah,
that does
not count. I want to say Raven was one of them.
Gonzo, was Raven one of them?
Raven was one of them.
I think this was at the point
and
where...
Snow was in there, too.
Yeah, they say they turned it into like a hardcore shit Rumble.
Saturn.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Gonzo, was Al Snow one?
Al Snow was one.
Gonzo, was Saturn one?
Perry Saturn was one.
Gentlemen, do I have at least three numbers?
Now, didn't Kane take out some major people towards the end?
What about Scotty Too Hotty? He's always good for an elimination. Gonzo, was Scotty Too Hot he won?
Scotty Too Hot he was won.
Wow!
All right.
Greg's on a roll.
You're going to have to lower these misses here. Who needs them, right?
Well, I'm not going to get too cocky yet.
Big show toast?
That's four. So
I wonder if they're all, are they all jobbers, or are we moving up the chain here? The
Who
food
else?
Chain here.
Steve Blackman.
Yeah, good
Gonzo, was Steve Blackman one?
Steve Blackman was one!
Wait, what year is this?
2001.
Okay, now I got a
hardcore. It's the hardcore guys.
Hardcore Holly?
You want to?
Yeah, why not? Hardcore Holly!
Gonzo, was Hardcore Holly one?
Hardcore Holly was not one of them.
What about, like, any of the tag teams, like the Dudley Boys or
Well, Hardys were in before. Hardys were in before. They were eliminated beforehand.
Yeah, yeah, because Drew Carey's expecting the Hardys to help him out.
You've got five and one miss.
I think 2001.
Come on. They've been showing the Kane promos. Who's Kane been eliminated?
That's all I'm thinking about.
There's one that in particular that is clear as day on who he eliminated.
What about Edge and Christian?
Edge and The Undertaker.
You want to go?
I'll give you another hint. He only eliminated one main eventer out of the 11.
Fuck. 2001, main eventer. That was the year that Triple H and Angle won, so we can eliminate them.
And I think that was the one I believe Austin won, the second one, and I believe he took
it. No, he won
2002. 2001. Yeah.
He had already won two by then, Austin.
Oh, Austin won two.
Because he won two in a row in the 90s. One in 97 and 98.
Oh. Gonzo, was the Honky Tonk Man one?
The Honky Tonk Man was one.
And that's the one.
And that is the one that they've been showing.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's six out of the 11.
Gonzo, was... I want to guess that one.
What about Hart? What about Crash Holly?
Crash Holly?
I don't know who he was in then. I don't remember who he was in. Not 2001,
no.
Come on, people are turning our dial right now.
Bradshaw
would have been a hardcore Farouk.
Would the headbang? No, that would have been gone by then.
It was Farouk.
Gonzo, was Farouk one?
Farouk was not one.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble now.
You have one more guess.
Let's wrap it up here, gang.
You got six.
Gonzo, was Brian Christopher one?
Brian Christopher was one. Yes, we're in the game. We're in the game. Grandmaster Sexy.
The longest brainbuster question in
history. Oh, we got one more story. We got
seven out of the 11.
Should we ask for a little hint here, or is that cheating?
I already gave you like 18 hints.
Yeah, he did. You said one main eventer. We have
one main eventer. You have not hit the main eventer yet.
Dan, do it. Pick the main eventer.
Well, let's see. 2001 main eventer. Let's just list them off and I'll pick one of the main eventers. We got Triple H, maybe Kurt Angle. I don't know if Stone Cold was in that one. Rock.
Now throw one out there, Dan.
Do it.
It's up to you.
Gonzo did Kane eliminate Triple H.
Triple H is incorrect.
Oh,
you got, like I said, you got seven. That's not bad. That's pretty impressive. The ones you missed, the main eventer was The Rock. He eliminated.
Shit.
He also eliminated Taz. He eliminated Albert. And he eliminated Crash Holly.
Dang.
Son of a
bitch. Now that you mentioned it, I remember seeing the clip of him throwing The Rock over.
Yep.
Oh, whatever.
Okay. Kurt, prediction time.
Folks. Bring me my nifty green book here. It is time once again for the Gonzo and Greg Prediction Contest, and here are your standings. In last place is Greg with 69 wins and 51 losses. In second place is Gonzo with 70 wins and 50 losses. And once again in first is me with 71 wins and 49 losses, and Dan Longnecker is 0 and 0. Greg?
All right.
I'm a winner in my heart, though. I predict, you know, I win there.
Let's go and start at the bottom. John Cena versus Kane, one-on-one match.
That is sad when you can say those two are at the bottom of the card.
I'd say it's a good thing. That means the rest of the card must be pretty strong.
I'm just going to say Cena.
I'm going to go with... Gosh, I'm going to say Cena wins. But he gets beaten down post-match in order to beat the odds and make it into the Rumble match and have a good showing.
I'm going to say Cena as well, but I'm going to say it's by DQ. Kane DQs.
Yeah, this is almost a match that's like prime for a DQ.
Yeah.
Dan, what do you think?
I'm going to say Kane by DQ from Cena. Like this.
Oh, so Cena gets DQ. Cena embraces the hate.
Yes. Yeah, Cena embraces the hate.
Good one. Fuck. Let's move ahead. Please.
CM Punk, Dolph Ziggler, WWE Championship match. John Laurinaitis is your special guest referee.
CM Punk.
Do we want to call anything crazy that's going to happen, or we already did that, I guess? We'll see what Laurinaitis
does. Laurinaitis, I'm going to screw him.
I can't do that.
Leave the impressions of the professionals. Daniel Bryan versus Mark Henry versus Big Show. Triple threat steel cage match for the world title.
First of all, it's Daniel Bryan versus Big Show.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, now I have to say Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan wins. And if Mark Henry is not in this match, this prediction gets thrown out.
If what?
If Mark Henry is not
in this match. Well, we're all going to have Daniel Bryan probably anyway, I'm picking Daniel Bryan.
It becomes a completely different match if it's just one-on-one.
I would go Daniel Bryan even if Mark Henry was or wasn't. I'm still going Daniel Bryan, but whatever.
And now we get to the coup de grace, the 30-man Royal Rumble match. I've been on Orton for a while. I'm going to pick Jericho now.
Jericho.
And I am also going to pick Jericho.
Jeez. It stinks because I didn't put much thought into it. There's a lot of wrestlers that, man, I can really see them come close, but I don't want to throw their name out. I guess Jericho.
This is a terrible prediction contest. Clean across the board, Will.
Join us for Against All Odds when we'll all be in the same spot. So. All right. That will do it. I hope you enjoyed our special episode this week. We'll be back next week, as usual, with another top five and our thoughts on the Rumble. Speaking of the Rumble, I'll be tweeting live during the show at Greg M. Parks. Also, like us on Facebook and join in the discussion there this past week. We've been talking about Johnny Ace's facial reaction while in the GTS, the vintage Royal Rumble theme, and some funny Ric Flair clips. Also, we'll upload some photos onto Facebook probably sometime Monday that chronicles our Rumble party in Jackpot. So be on the lookout for that. For Dan, Kurt, and Gonzo, I'm Greg,
and
I'm out.
See you in 6 months.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip. No!